In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
You are now listening to the Prescription for Purpose podcast, the go-to destination for women who are tired of feeling burnt out and stuck in the exhausting cycle of doing but not thriving. Each week, we'll provide you with Christ-centered mental wellness prescriptions to help you reclaim your peace, renew your purpose, and live life spiritually well. And if you're a therapist or a coach, the tools and insights that we curate here will help you make a Christ-centered impact on your clients today. Are you ready, sis? Let's get started. Hey, friend, and welcome back to another episode of the Prescription for Purpose podcast. Now, before we get too deep into the episode, y'all hear my voice, okay? You hear it, friend. Pray for me. Nothing crazy happened. I just went to wrestling three days in a row, okay? This was my graduation celebration to myself. Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday night. Your girl was in the stands, and now I have laryngitis. And I'll do it again. It was such a good time. I'm excited for today's episode where we're going to be talking about not confusing the promised land with Eden. I know this sounds like a wild concept, but I need you to lean in because when I tell you I unlocked tea, when I tell you that I really understand now why a lot of us are frustrated and God is giving us revelation, that's what we're locked in for today. Okay. Now, a couple of church announcements. Make sure y'all are rating and reviewing the podcast. I really want to get feedback, especially as we get closer to the season ending, about how this season has impacted you as we've turned into and pivoted into the direction of faith and mental health, what things you would like to hear us talk about as we continue the show. I really want this to be a place and a space for you to learn and grow. Make sure you take your spiritual wellness check-in. The link is in the show notes. Pull up in the Purpose Collective. That link is in the show notes. You can ask questions, get voice notes from me, etc., and then download the Spiritual Well app. Now let's get into it. Last week, we wrapped up the four horsemen of spiritual sabotage. And if you remember, one of the first four horsemen was information over intimacy. In my getting of knowledge, I understand that if I don't do nothing else, I'm a think. And so God has really challenged me in the last couple of weeks to find different ways to spend time with him, more intimate ways, and to spend my time in the Word just receiving instead of me cultivating and getting into the Hebrew and the Greek, which are all things that you should do. But in this season, God just wants to talk to me. And child, he's been talking. I'm reading the book of Joshua, and I have the NLT study Bible. If you need a good study Bible, that's the one. I'll link it in the show notes. But you want to get a good study Bible because in the beginning, it gives you essentially a blueprint or a breakdown of the chapter or of the book, rather. In me reading the blueprint, it kind of goes like this. The first five chapters of Joshua is about the entering into the promised land. Then from like 5, I want to say to like 11 or 12, it's about conquering the promised land. And then the rest of the book is about dividing it. Mind you, I have not read a single scripture yet in me sitting with the Lord with this. He just told me not to skip any parts. And so I'm reading through the blueprint. And then I looked at it again and I said, God, if they entered into the promised land, why did they have to conquer it if it was promised? And the Lord revealed to me that a lot of us are frustrated because the way that the promised land has been taught to many of us, the way that we get told what our purpose in our promised land and all we got to do is make it there, what that looks like has been misrepresented with Eden. Because God gave the Israelites the promised land, but they still had to conquer it. The promised land is not where you come in and it's without work. It's not where you just slide into place. They still had to conquer. They still had to conquer the land that God promised to them. And a lot of us are getting frustrated because we think that we misheard God. We think that we're off track. We think that we're doing the wrong things. But friend, you're already in the promised land. It's just that the promised land is more like a renovation project. Okay. In the conquering, there were the Canaanites and other idol worshipers in the land. And the people of Israel had to go and clean that land up. But that is not how the promised land has been taught to us. We think once we get there, it's golden. No, that's Eden. And in Genesis 3, we lost access to Eden. So Eden is the Garden of Eden. God gave the Garden of Eden. There was no labor. It was his original plan to dwell with humanity. There was all of this unbroken intimacy. There were no enemies present. There was perfection and no pain. There was no shame. There was no striving. It was just a symbol of creation and communion. And we see that when it talks about how Adam walked with God or God walked with Adam in the cool of the day. But we lost access to that. In Genesis 3, in Canaan, which is the promised land, God gives the land, but it requires a conquest. With Eden, God just gave it. There was no labor involved. With the promised land, friend, there is labor involved. There is a conquest. You have to go and conquer that land. God fulfilled his promise to a people, but it happened through a process. There is responsibility because we are divinely partnering with God. In the promised land, the Israelites were surrounded by opposition. That's why they had to go and conquer the land. The purpose is, it's a purpose that has to be stewarded well, even when you're dealing with pressure. The Israelites were healing from the wilderness. They were healing from the trauma, healing from the loss. Like literally the way that the book of Joshua opens up is Moses, my servant, is dead. Moses led these people out of Egypt. He was their leader for the 40 years in the wilderness. So imagine the impact that that level of mourning must have had on them. So they're healing and grieving, but they still are at the cusp of the promised land and they go into the promised land. The promised land is a symbol of covenant and calling. And then God allows Joshua to lead the people into the promised land on his word and on God's strategy. But we have to understand that the promised land is entered through obedience and it is maintained through faith. That's why there is this constant theme of be strong and courageous when we talk about Joshua. And what I realize and what I recognize is that some of us are mad at God, mad at our calling, mad at our life, because we thought that the promised land was going to feel like Eden. And it's not true. So now you're exhausted. Now you are confused. You're discontent. And it's not because God's promise isn't real. It's because our expectations were wrong. And many of us, our expectations are wrong because we were taught wrong. When most people think of the promised land, they think comfort. They think relief. They think that it's the reward for all the time that you spent in the wilderness. But biblically, that is not what the promised land ever was. And so you have to understand the truth so that way you don't spiritually sabotage something that you were called to steward. So when we look at that breakdown, Eden was a garden, but Canaan was a battleground. And so in Genesis, right, that unbroken communion, no shame, no scarcity, no struggle. Adam and Eve didn't have to do nothing with them trees. They wouldn't have to prune. They nothing. They were placed inside of Eden. And all they had to do was cultivate it, maintain it. But there was nothing to conquer. But in Canaan, which is the promised land, that land had to be taken. Even though God promised it to Israel, they still had to fight the giants. They still had to tear down the strongholds. They still had to confront every fear that being a slave in Egypt left on the inside of them. God did not hand them a paradise. And our promised land is the same. Like, he's not handing us a paradise. Oftentimes, our promised land is God handing us a process, and that process is going to require maturity. And that's the part that we struggle with. That's the part that we often don't like. We want to be promoted into purpose, and we want to feel like we have a buffet of blessing. But we have to remember that without resistance, without mental battles, without any of that, we are not going through a process and we're not being perfected. Just because the land is promised, just because the purpose is promised, it does not mean that the way that you're going to go about it is going to be passive. You still have to show up. You still have to claim it. You still have to go to war with your old mindsets, with those insecurities, with generational dysfunction, with trauma survival patterns, with dysfunctional relationships that God is pulling you out of. You still have to go to war to tear down those strongholds. And friend, if we're being for real, the problem really isn't the pressure for a lot of us. The problem is a lot of us have this sense of entitlement because we thought that if we obeyed, we thought that if we did steps 1 through 5 correctly, that we would be spared from the struggle. And I'm telling you that this is something that I have dealt with. And God had to check me. This is why I'm very careful about being like, what I deserve, what I do deserve, what I don't deserve. What I deserve is death. Because I'm a sinner, and that's the cost of sin. So thank God for Jesus that I ain't got that. Now, I'm not saying that in a way that's self-degrading. What I'm saying is I have to make sure that I check my sense of entitlement that way. Because a lot of us, especially type A perfectionistic tendency type ladies, we often think that if I do what it says in the rubric, my grade, the outcome should be in alignment with me following the rules. But that in and of itself is not even intimacy. We have to remove ourselves from this sense of entitlement. We have to remove ourselves from a sense of entitlement. We have to understand that our exhaustion or us being tired isn't because God's promise isn't good. We're tired because our fantasy of what we thought this would look like is being interrupted by reality. We had Eden expectations, but the call is for Canaan. We had Eden expectations, sis, but the call is for Canaan. In Joshua 1, God tells Joshua, I have given you every place where the sole of your foot treads. He's given it to them. But then he says a couple verses later, be strong and courageous, for you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. So we find out the land is ours. The promise is ours. The purpose is ours. But you're going to have to lead and fight and clock and clear all the things in order for you to really operate in what God has called you to. And in reading the overview, what's crazy is that the children of Israel never really even conquered the totality of the promised land. And a lot of us get so burnt out because of this disillusionment of what we expect versus what is the actual promise, what purpose actually looks like. We get so tired because we're trying to figure out what is the disconnect. But we have to understand the truth so we can make sure that we do everything that God has called us to do, so we can get that well done, my good and faithful servant. The real problem is many of us want the land, but we don't want to lead. We want the fruit, but we don't want to fight. And Eden really represents this unfiltered access to God, right? And then when sin entered in, that intimacy got interrupted. And so now that we are on this side of the cross, right, we don't get Eden on earth. We get Jesus. And I thank God for it, because he restores us to give us access to God's presence in the middle of the process. So now we have that unfiltered access to God again, which is way more important than any location or any gift that he gave in Eden. They were so focused on the tree, but they did not recognize that I have unfiltered access to the Creator. And the enemy was able to be subtle and to distract them from that. And the same thing is happening to us. And it's dealing with us mentally, emotionally. It is ravishing us. We want to dwell in the promise, but we don't want to confront the pain that rises up when we finally slow down enough to feel it. And we have to feel it. We have to say, God, first of all, I repent. Okay? I repent. I thought that the purpose, I thought that the business, the relationship, the degrees, whatever it is, like fill in the blank. I thought that it was going to lead to my life looking like easy peasy lemon squeezy. And I now recognize that that is a lie. That's a lie. We are not fighting for Eden. We are not fighting for Eden. We're not returning to paradise. We are not going to see paradise until Jesus comes back. Our goal right now is to learn how to carry purpose while we are sustained by the presence of God. And so if you find yourself struggling, I want you to ask yourself, did I come to my promised land, my purpose, whatever God has called you to? Did I come expecting peace, but wasn't prepared for the pressure that comes alongside of it? Ask yourself, did I mistake divine partnership for personal punishment? Because God never promised to give us Eden back. At least not here. New heaven, new earth, yeah. But what God did promise is he promised to be with you. He promised to never leave you or forsake you or abandon you. He promised that the land is yours. He promised that if you walked it out, you will see fruit. And so we have to stop confusing the ground that God is giving us to cover with what we thought the garden would look like. And so we have to stop fantasizing about a version of our purpose, a version of our life, a version of the ministries that we serve in that doesn't exist. And we have to start showing up well for the version that does. Because what happens when you enter the promised land and you have Eden expectations, you're going to have emotional confusion. You're going to have spiritual resentment. You're going to have psychological weariness. And so then you start shutting down. You start questioning everything that God gave you. You start questioning God himself. And it starts to break you down. And so I want to give you these three ways in which it starts to break you down, so that way you can really understand what's going on here. So the first thing that's going to happen is burnout. Burnout is a state of chronic emotional, spiritual, and physical exhaustion that is caused by prolonged stress and mismanaged expectations, especially when your output is disconnected from you getting replenished in a meaningful way. So when people step into purpose and they're expecting Eden and they think, ooh, finally, girl, I get to rest. Okay. Like, ooh, child, I made it. Finally, take your bra off. Okay, friend. Like, I'm here. That's what our expectation is. I just get to be free. Okay. But when you get there and you find that there is weight that has to be carried, you find that there's still work that has to be done, and you find more warfare. If you aren't mentally and emotionally prepared for that, you're going to burn out. And it's not because you can't handle it. It's not because you're weak. It's because you feel blindsided. Burnout comes when you expect rest, but you receive responsibility instead. And we see that in Joshua 6, right? They didn't just get to walk into Canaan and get to chill. They had to march around the walls of Jericho for 6 days silently, then shout and fight. It was not a vacation, right? It was a strategy. There's obedience. There's pressure. And I think that something that we have to understand is that you can be in alignment and still be exhausted. While exhaustion or being tired can be an indicator that you're not on the right track, it also does not, exhaustion all by itself does not mean that you're not where God called you to be. You may need to shift your strategy, but that doesn't mean that you're out of alignment with the Lord. You can be obedient and still need boundaries. And what's causing the burnout isn't just the work. It is that fantasy thought that we've built about what our promise and our purpose should look like and feel like. And so you're not tired because God didn't come through, but you're tired because you assumed that favor would mean that you would have freedom without friction. And that's not the case. That's not the case. In Joshua 21:45, the Bible says, not one of the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. God fulfills his promises. The promise is still good. The promise that God gave you over your life, sis, is still good. But the fulfillment of that promise does not equate to ease. And if you don't adjust your mindset, you are going to overfunction. You're going to overstretch. You're going to overgive. You're going to overperform yourself into a breakdown, even though you're inside of the will of God for your life. I don't know who this is for, but girl, you are tired and you're getting ready to pivot out of your promised land because you are confused as to what the promised land looks like. Okay, I've had plenty of times in me stepping into this mental health space where I'm like, verily, verily, Jesus, this can't be what you have said. But it is. But it is. Because the promise does not mean that there is going to be ease all the time. The second thing that can happen is resentment. You will start holding a grudge against the Lord. Resentment is suppressed disappointment and frustration that is often unspoken that turns into bitterness towards someone that you once trusted. And in this case, someone is God. When the weight of the promise catches you off guard, you don't get tired. A lot of us get angry. And we have to be truthful about that. Most of us don't know how to grieve disappointment in God-honoring ways. And so then we turn our disappointment into distance. Distance from God, distance from purpose, distance from people around us, distance even from ourselves. And we have to be mindful of that. That's what happened in the wilderness, right? When the Israelites were complaining, they were grieving disappointment because they thought that on the other side of leaving Egypt, there was going to be different provision. Like they told Moses, like, you just brought us here to die. Couldn't we have died in Egypt? they were projecting. They blamed God for liberating them because they didn't like the path to the promised land. And some of us are doing the same thing right now. We're angry, not because God didn't show up, but because what he brought you into is making you face everything that you thought freedom would erase. Okay, you've been delivered from that thing, but now you got to deal with the root cause. You've been delivered from lust, but now you have to sit in therapy and deal with the trauma or the molestation that you thought you could just be done with. And it doesn't work like that. Resentment builds up when you interpret the work of sanctification as sabotage. When you start believing that God tricked you, but he's really trying to transform you, that's when you get resentful. And if you don't put a name to it, it will harden your heart against the very thing that you were sent to lead and to the life that you were meant to live. And that's what happened to Moses over in Numbers 20. When he let frustration with the people drive him to disobedience, when he hit the rock instead of speaking to it, He hit the rock instead of speaking to it. He still had the rod. He still was a leader. He still was anointed. He still had the gift, but he lost intimacy because he was leading from a place of bitterness and resentment. And some of us are functioning out of a place like this. And it's really because you're tired, friend. You're tired. And I see you. You're tired of being faithful when being faithful does not feel like it is fair. When being faithful feels like it's not working out for your good, you're sick of it. But you have to go and have that conversation with the Lord. He's the only one that can do anything about it. It's the part, and I want you to hear this definition again of what resentment is. Suppressed disappointment and frustration, often unspoken, that turns into bitterness towards someone that you once trusted. You have to have a conversation with the Lord about how you are feeling so he can start to reveal and heal these parts of you so you can understand the totality of his plan and his purpose for you. The last part, or the last thing that happens when we confuse the promised land with Eden, is disillusionment. This is when you start questioning your discernment, okay? Disillusionment is the emotional fallout that happens when your expectations are shattered and what you believe to be true no longer feels trustworthy. This is when the version of God that you imagined doesn't match the version of God that you're experiencing, and now you're not sure who or what to trust. So after the burnout and the bitterness set in, you start doubting whether you ever heard God correctly. You start asking yourself if you missed a sign. You start to spiritualize your exit strategy. You start asking, like, did I make that up? Was I supposed to be doing this? If this is God, why does it feel like I am dying? Okay. Why does it feel like I'm dying? And the truth is, you are. You are dying. And that's the point, right? You're dying to the version of you that thought that the promised land and purpose would be painless. But Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:7-10, that we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. Flat out, Paul's like, sometimes you're going to feel like you're dying. And a lot of us have to put some things on the altar. I did an episode a while back about self-idealized lives. Self-idealization. We have to put it on the altar. We have to die to our fantasy. We have to die to our ego. We have to die to emotional immaturity. And disillusionment happens when you think that discernment should protect you from pain. But real discernment does not lead you around the fire. Real discernment is going to teach you how to walk through the fire without being consumed. just because you're in the middle of a place where you feel pressure, where you are trying to operate in purpose, that may be painful, that does not mean that you are out of place. Fire refines you. Fire refines you. And we have to really make sure that we are not allowing the struggles that we deal with, the position that we're in, to make us throw away something that God guaranteed to us. We have to make sure that we are not operating in that way. I want us to even look at this really quickly from a psychological standpoint. A lot of times we assume that once we reach the promise, that we're going to get everything that we've ever prayed for and we will feel this immediate relief. But we don't realize that on top of the spiritual aspect, our nervous system, our brains have been trained for survival and they have not been trained in stability. So your body isn't even going to instantly adjust just because your environment changes. So let's look at burnout, resentment, and disillusionment again. Burnout is often the result of hypervigilance. It's not just from you doing the most. You're doing the most because you're hypervigilant. Hypervigilance is a trauma response where your brain and your body remain in this consistent high alert state, even when danger is no longer present. So people who spent years in survival mode because of instability, because of performance-based living, because of chronic pressure, they enter into purpose and they're carrying these same mental scripts. So you don't take the necessary time to rest because it feels unsafe or unproductive. So now you're over-functioning even in a place of blessing. You're not just tired from the weight of the assignment. You're tired because your body doesn't trust the land yet. Your body doesn't trust the purpose yet. Your body isn't even fully trusting the promise of God. Your nervous system is bracing for the other shoe to drop, even when there is no longer a crisis. When we talk about people who are dealing with resentment, resentment is often a fear of you losing power. When you step into a calling or a promise and there's difficulty, there is this tendency to start to get resentment toward God, but toward the people you were called to serve, toward people in your community, and even the assignment itself. But under that, there's a sense of helplessness because you don't feel equipped. You don't feel emotionally safe. You don't feel spiritually confident enough to carry the weight of what's been given. And so the resentment really isn't about the promise. It's about that internal relief that somehow you have to figure out how to sustain all of this on your own, and you don't. And because you feel that way, when it starts to feel heavy, you subconsciously start to blame God because he was the one that gave it to you. We start to look like Adam in Eden. Well, the woman that you gave me, right? We have to be mindful of this. God is our help. And then disillusionment often comes from unmet expectations and insecure attachment. And we're going to talk about attachment theory at some point before the season is over with. But insecure attachment to God often shows up as this spiritual disillusionment. When your promise feels hard, painful, slow, we start to question if we really heard God or if we're being punished. We are so quick to think that, like, oh, God must be wagging his finger at me. No. And this isn't just because you are lacking faith. This is a dysregulated attachment response that's rooted in fear of abandonment, that's rooted in rejection. So if you're struggling with disillusionment, that means that you are struggling with the distance, right? You are starting to feel like anytime there's there's any type of opposition, anytime there's any type of space, God must be pulling back because I did something wrong. If something hurts, doesn't feel good, God must be pulling back because I did something wrong. That isn't truth, friend. That's trauma. The Bible says God is near the brokenhearted. And so pain then becomes evidence that the relationship is unstable, instead of pain being the thing that brings you into a deeper place of trust and intimacy with God. A lot of us think that it is the purpose or the promise or the assignment that is too hard, and it's not. It is our expectations, and it's the way that our brains have been wired in such a way to where we do not even have the capacity yet to get oriented to the promised land. Something that I'm doing now, if y'all notice, I have been a little slower with rolling things out. Even with the app, it's out. And I'm taking all of next week to just get acclimated. I just got done with school. I have to start studying for boards. And I've been asking God, like, what do you want me to do? Like now. And the last couple of weeks have been nothing. Don't do anything. I just need to give my brain time to readjust. Because the promise isn't going anywhere. It's not the promise. It's the fact that our nervous system does not know how to interpret pressure, pain, without panicking. And we have to know that a lot of times, in order to get to peace, there is a level of confrontation. There is a level of grief that happens. When you look in the Bible, there's a lot of death before new things happen. Literally, Moses died, and now they enter into the promised land. Your body has to learn how to be at peace in places that don't require for you to put your hands to something. I need you to really start reminding yourself, reminding your mind, reminding your body, hey, we're safe here because God said it was ours. And that's how you operate in a level of maturity. Now, I'm going to put a pin in this here. I was going to give y'all this list of like how to know if you're in the promised land. We're going to save that for next week because I really feel like we have to grasp this concept of what it means to understand that the promised land is not the same as Eden. Don't make this deeper than what it needs to be. What I'm saying directly is that you are asking God for your promised land. You feel like you did all the right things, but you're not in the right spot. And I'm telling you that you're probably in the right spot, but your expectations have to be reevaluated so God can make it clear as to what you need to do next. That's what I'm saying, friend. Before you go and jump ship, before you pivot, before you do a different assignment, I need you to make sure that before you start questioning yourself, before you start beefing with the Lord, before you throw away all of the work and all of the land that you've already conquered, ask yourself, am I frustrated because I had Eden expectations and I was not fully aware? I was not fully aware that the promised land still required conquering. The promised land requires obedience. It requires strategy. It requires submission. I don't just get placed into it. I have to remain rooted and abide, and I have to lead and push through, and there's going to be warfare, but the land is still promised. I feel like this is a great time to evaluate this because we're at the halfway mark of the year. This is the time for us to identify, am I getting ready to abandon something that God promised to me because my expectations are off? If you're feeling burnt out, if you're feeling resentment, if you're feeling disillusionment, I need you to address those things this week. Tell God, I'm feeling resentful. I'm angry. I thought X, Y, and Z would look like this. I've had those conversations with God over the last several months. Our truth is not too hard for the Lord. But the enemy would love nothing more to keep you than to keep you from being intimate with God. And while God is omniscient and omnipresent, we have to have enough faith to come to him. Imagine what could have happened if Adam was like, we messed up. Let me go talk to the Lord. Right? We have to really be mindful of our role in partnering and being in relationship with God. So I pray, friend, that this episode bless you, that you are able to go to the book of Joshua for yourself and go look at what happened when they got to the promised land. Look at your own situation and identify the strongholds and the things, the idols that God is calling you to tear down with the thing that he's called you to purpose. That means you got to get ready for war, Bookie. You got to get ready for war. But it's still yours. And you'll have celebrations and you'll have high moments. But we have to be consistent. Because once we start getting fatigue and once we get inconsistent, that is where compromise happens. And that's what happened with the children of Israel, too. They never fully conquered the promised land. And I don't want that to be our story. So I pray that this blessed you. Take the time to sit with this week. I love you, girl. God bless you, and I'll talk to you next week.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Whether you're looking to buy your dream home or rent a sweet apartment, give Redfin your gotta-have-it wish list of property features, and you'll receive real-time notifications tailored just for you. Ready to see it up close and personal? Scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Don't wait to find your perfect match. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.